We'll turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Here we come across the Apostle Paul as he is writing to those brethren whom he dearly loved. They cared greatly about Paul. And one of the things that Paul did for the church at Philippi is prayed for them. He prayed earnestly for them because he loved them. He wanted them to have certain things. This is not to say that he didn't want the other congregations to have it. But it's interesting that he addresses the church at Macedonia the way that he does. Notice what is said in verse 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, in order that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. A few things that I want us to take notice of when we consider these two verses, 9 through 11, 3 rather. This particular context is the idea of this is going to take place for this to take place. It's in what is called the subjunctive in the Greek. It's very rich, as a matter of fact. In essence, Paul is saying, I'm going to be praying for you because I want this to take place. Notice, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. I'm hoping, I'm wishing, I'm praying that you abound, not just a little bit, but go on and on and on. But notice, in knowledge and in all discernment. The word knowledge is very interesting. It literally means to think with precision. Paul is telling the church at Philippi, I want you to be precise thinkers. But the only way that that's going to take place is you got to stay connected with Christ. But then notice, and all discernment. That's in all ethical situations, all moral situations. So he wants them to think clearly, but he also wants them to have that mentality of ethical thinkers, moral thinkers. If anything, the people of God ought to be ethical thinkers and thinkers of precision. But notice what he also says. Remember, I'm doing this, and I'm saying this, I'm hoping this, that this can take place. Notice, in order that you may approve the things that are excellent, those things that have the most value. Christians, if anything, we ought to be approving things that are of great value. Spiritual value. And the reason why is because when we have an idea or a mentality of excellence, then we know for a fact, notice what he goes on to say, that you may be sincere. I think this is my favorite word in the whole context. It literally means to shine the light upon. Paul is telling the Philippian brethren that you ought to have a mentality, an attitude, a lifestyle that when the sunlight is shined upon it or shone upon it, that it exposes nothing but Christ living in you. Now that's rich. Because what this also teaches is that we ought to be living our lives of transparency, openness. We're not hiding anything. And without offense, meaning that we're not a stumbling block. All of these things that Paul is saying to the Philippian brethren, he says, I need you to keep this in mind. And I'm hoping and wishing and praying that these things will take place so this will take place. But then notice what he says. Being without offense or stumbling block to the judgment day of Christ, the day of Christ. But notice verse 11, friends. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Here's the idea. It's in the perfect tense. You know what that means? It means that at the point in which they obeyed the gospel, they had the fruits of righteousness upon them. And you know what he's saying? You still have it. I love that, because once a Christian, stay faithful, always a Christian. You don't have to fall away. You can always be producing fruit. Why? Because God has given us his righteousness. Jesus loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, which are by Jesus Christ, literally, which are because of Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I said all of that to say this. We should be living subjunctive lives. We should be living lives because of what Christ did. Now we can do what we can do. Friends, I don't see, one sister said this a long time ago. She said, I don't see how people live outside of Christ. Because of what Christ did, we can live the right life, the righteous life, a holy life, all because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And really, this was Paul's prayer. My prayer is that you be these things, and I know you can be those things because of what God did for you. Friends, God did a lot for us. And since he did that, it put us in a position to live for him. Let's do that. Let's stay faithful to God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Think about obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.